Good morning. So the reading today is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Great. Do take a seat. Well, this morning we're going to be thinking about peace that lasts. But as we prepare to do that, I need two willing volunteers for a bit later on. There is a prize for a primary school aged volunteer or two. It's nothing scary, I promise. I need your help later on. Josiah, always a willing volunteer, primed. So I'll need you later on. So I'll call you up. Good boy. Very keen. Good lad. Anyone else? Daisy? We'll see. We'll find one later, don't worry. Great. Well, as we come to look at this passage, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word, please show us the truth about ourselves and help us to see how wonderful it is that Jesus brings peace with you, peace that lasts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I have had a long week. I had boot camp at Peter Baxendale on Monday. He knows how to tie me out. I went out with Jono on Tuesday, house group Wednesday, table tennis Thursday. Friday we had a youth bonfire. And yesterday I went to a birthday party. Don't get invited to many of those. So I am so tired that I need a rest. So, I've got my eye mask, and I'm just going to just rest my head here for a minute or two. And I need you to not disturb me. Don't speak to me. Ideally, don't even look at me. See you in an hour.
Dad, can you help me with my Lego, please? Dad? Desire
snacks
from me.
Love, please could you take the dog out for a walk?
I cannot get any peace. Do you ever find yourself wishing for peace? Parents, every Saturday, wouldn't you love for your children just to play nicely, to get on with each other, blissful silence as they share nicely, and they even help each other. Children, maybe you wish that your parents would leave you alone for a whole day without giving you any jobs to do or asking you to get dressed. What is wrong with a pajama day? Maybe we find ourselves longing for a day in the office without constant arguing or gossiping. Maybe we wish that our neighbours didn't party till 3 a.m. On a Saturday night. even more than this, this Remembrance Sunday, we find ourselves longing for peace on an international stage, don't we? War has never felt so close to home. As we've watched footage of Ukraine with soldiers and tanks and missiles. There are people who are here this morning because war has driven them out of their homes and out of their countries. And it's not just in the Ukraine, is it? All over the world, there are wars and threats of wars. All of this makes us long for peace, doesn't it? An end to fighting and warring and squabbling. I think all of us, in some sense, know that this isn't how it was meant to be. We're meant to live in peace. But peace in this world never seems to last very long, does it? I think that is why this book is so popular. 5 minutes peace. I love reading this to the children. But it's mad, isn't it, that 5 minutes peace sounds like bliss to some of us. That's why I think so often we'll try and do anything to keep peace with our neighbours, even if that means for them building a massive fence and not speaking to us at all. Peace in our world is often just leaving each other alone, isn't it? One of the best pictures, I think, for how fragile peace is in this world is the 1914 Christmas Day football match. I don't know if you've heard about that, where the Germans and the English came up on Christmas Day and played football with each other, enemies coming together in peace and playing the beautiful game together. You can watch on YouTube, Sainsbury's did a Christmas advert on it a few years ago. It pulls at the heartstrings because we all want peace like that. But how does the football match end? Well, in the Sainsbury's advert, they hear bombs in the distance and they remember that they are still at war. It was peace that lasted one day. And that's because peace in our world never seems to last. But why is that? I wonder if you've ever stopped to think about it. If we all long for peace and we all hate war, why does peace never last? Well, I think to understand that, we need to understand the heart of war. I don't know if you spotted it in our reading. It's there in Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. What does Paul call each and every one of us? Well, he calls us God's enemies. Why is there no peace in our world? Well, it's because each and every one of us is at war with God. The heart of war is a heart at war with God. God made us to be at peace with him, to live in his world, to listen to him and to live as he commands. And that's for our good. He knows what's best in our world. But each and every one of us have turned our backs on God. We've said to God with our words and our actions, shove off, God. I'm in charge. No to your ways. That is what sin is. It's saying to God, shove off, God, I'm in charge, no to your ways. Rejecting God and rejecting his good rules. And because of that, we no longer love God and we no longer love each other as we're made to. We're at war with God, and that means that we're at war with each other. I don't know if you spotted the other words that this passage uses to describe us. It speaks of us being powerless, ungodly, sinners. Because we've turned our backs on God, we all naturally have hearts that hate God and hate each other. Hearts that seem to be unable to do the good things that we want to do. And hearts that are so quick to fight and argue and quarrel. Children, I wonder if you ever say to yourself, I'm going to be kind to my parents today. I'm going to be nice to my brother or sister. I'm not going to answer back to my parents. I'm not going to argue with them. And I'm not going to say mean things. Do we ever start a day saying that to ourselves? But even though we try our hardest, we find ourselves doing those things, don't we? Answering back to our parents, being mean to your brother or sister, saying unkind things to our friends. Adults, it's the same for us too, isn't it? I'm not going to snap at my children today. I'm going to be patient. I'm not going to join in with the gossip at work. I'm not going to say that unkind thing to my spouse or my family member. And yet again and again, we do the things we don't want to do. Why is that? Well, all of these are symptoms of the big problem in the world. Sneezing tells us that we are sick, doesn't it? See what I did there? And the evil things that we do tell us that we have a spiritual sickness, don't they? A heart that is at war with God, that's taken God out of his rightful place as king of our lives and told him to go away. There can be no lasting peace with God, no lasting peace in our world while we are at war with God. And the wars that we see in the world around us are a symptom of this war with God. Every war that has ever started has been caused by hearts that no longer love God and no longer love other people, but love ourselves instead and want to live our way, rejecting God. And that means that the heart problem that brought Hitler to wage war in Europe is the same heart problem that is inside of me and is inside of you, that makes me want to wage war on people who get in my way and stop me from doing what I want to do, whether that's my children or my colleagues or my spouse or my neighbours. It's not that the evil is out there in the world outside and we're all good. Naturally, each and every one of us does what is evil in God's sight. We all hate God and hate each other all the time. And that is really serious. Our passage here tells us that because we are enemies with God and sinners by ourselves, we face God's wrath. That is that we face God's right anger at our rebellion and rejection of him. We live in a world, don't we, that is very keen on justice when evil is committed. And that is a good thing. We want to live in a world where evil and wickedness is punished. A judge would be a bad and corrupt judge if they let criminals off without punishing them for what they've done. Well, the Bible says that God is the judge of each and every one of us. And he is rightly angry at our rejection of him and the evil that we've done. He hates sin and he hates the destruction that it causes. And he opposes all those who do evil. And so because we've waged war against God with no pleasure at all, God intends to give us what we want. That is to cast us out of his presence and do away with his enemies once and for all. Now it all sounds hopeless, doesn't it? We would hate to finish there, and I won't finish there, because the question is, will we ever know peace that lasts? Well, there is hope, and thankfully, it doesn't lie in our ability to be good or in our peacemaking. Look with me again to Romans 5, verse 1. This holds out that glorious good news. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To those who are God's enemies by ourselves, Jesus comes holding out peace. Peace with God, peace that gets to the heart of our big problem, of our war with God. Jesus came to make enemies of God his friends, to bring us back to God. When the Bible talks about peace, it's talking about far more than just not fighting with each other or building up big fences so that you can't annoy each other anymore, keeping out of each other's way. The Bible speaks about perfect relationship with each other, where fences are torn down. Gone are the boundary lines and disputes over whose hedge it is to trim. All barriers are taken away so that we are free to live with one another, free to share life with one another. No more locking of our front doors, no more holding each other at a distance. This peace is living with each other, my children with your children, in and out of each other's homes, family together. In a world of warring and infighting, doesn't that sound so good? Well, that is the peace that Jesus came to bring, that we might be what we were made to be, at peace with God, and so at peace with one another. But the question comes, why? Look at how we've treated God. We've taken all of his good gifts and we've thrown it back in his face. Why would God move towards us to bring peace? Well, look with me to verse 8. Verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is God's love for us, love for those that he's made, that moved him to do something about it. To step towards those of us who were his enemies in love, to bring us into the relationship with him. And he did that through his own death. God couldn't bring peace with us by simply ignoring what we've done. That would be corrupt. Our rebellion against God must be punished if God is to be a good and just God who hates sin. And yet, God, in his amazing, undeserved love for those of us who've rejected him, took the punishment in himself so that we might have peace with God. No longer enemies, but friends. Look with me to verse 9. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? If you know me, then you'll know that I love football. I'm really excited about the World Cup. But even more than watching football, I love to play football. You wouldn't know it. But in my current fitness levels, I know very well what it is to be a substitute. In football, a substitute stands on the sideline waiting to take someone else's place, don't they? To stand in and play on their behalf, to take their position for them. Well, that's the picture that we have here in Romans of Jesus. That is Jesus being our substitute, coming on to take our place for us. Not on the football pitch, but at the cross. Now this is where I need my two volunteers. So, Josiah, do you want to come up and be my first volunteer? Do I have another second volunteer? Hannah, great work. This could be interesting. Fantastic. So, Josiah, you are going to be us. So, I have a football shirt for you to wear. Sorry, it is a little bit dirty. People have said that I am a dirty player, unfortunately. But I'm going to put this on you. Right, I'll hold that. Should we put that on you? You're not going to be able to use your arms, but that's okay. Right, you come and stand here. Do you want to get your arms out? Should we try and do that? No, we don't need arms. Josiah represents us. See, as dirty as that football shirt is, in many ways it's a good picture of what we're like, isn't it? We've said that we're all stained with sin. We've all rebelled against God. We've rejected him and we've done what's evil in his sight. We all face God's judgment. We're all in a mess that we can't clean up ourselves. So Josiah is us, and Hannah, you are going to be Jesus. You don't. Hannah doesn't want to be Jesus. You're going to put on, this is mummy's football top. You don't want to. Do I have another Jesus? Mummy. Mummy's going to come and be the substitute. Thank you very much. See, if we are a mess, then Jesus is perfect. He's spotless. Jesus never sinned. He never rebelled against God. He obeyed his Father perfectly. And he enjoyed perfect relationship with God, peace with God. We are stained with sin, and Jesus is spotless and sinless. But this is where the good news really comes in, because the Bible tells us that Jesus came towards us in love, and he willingly came as our substitute to take our place. So Jesus took from us our sin. So we're going to take this off you. He took our sin from us. Do you want to take that one off? Nice and rehearsed. Jesus took our sin from us, and he took it upon himself, and he gave us his perfect, spotless record. Jesus took our sin upon himself, taking the punishment that it deserves, death and separation from God, so that when God looks at us now, he no longer sees our sin. He sees Jesus' perfect, spotless record. He sees us as if we'd never sinned, because we've been washed clean by Jesus. So that we can enjoy what Jesus has enjoyed for all eternity. Peace with God, perfect relationship with him. No longer God's enemies, but now made his friends. Not held at a distance, but welcomed into the family home as his children. Isn't this amazing? Jesus has done everything to bring peace with God that lasts. The punishment fell on Jesus so that it will never fall on us. Well, a big thank you to my volunteers. Give them a round of applause. Jesus has done everything to bring peace with God through his death. But only those who accept Jesus' offer of peace with God can enjoy it now and forever. I heard this illustration this week. It's as if there's an amnesty going on at the moment. We know the type of thing that I'm talking about. Maybe a library will say, anyone who has an overdue library book can bring it back and there will be no penalties or late fines. We won't ask you why you've had The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe for the last 10 years and you still haven't read the first chapter. You can bring it back and all will be forgiven. Well, the call of the gospel is bring yourself back to God. He has done everything himself to reconcile you to himself, to make you his friend. He died for you. He paid the price himself. So come and receive forgiveness. Come and receive restored relationship with God, peace with God that lasts forever. Nothing can break it because our sin has been dealt with completely. The Bible says, be given a new heart that will help you to now learn to love God as you were made to love one another as God made us to do, know the joy of life as it was designed to be, in relationship with God and relationship with each other, and know the certain hope of a coming day when Jesus returns, when there will be perfect peace. There is coming a day when finally all warfare and rebellion will be brought to an end. No more soldiers, no more tanks, no more missiles, no more arguments or falling out or harsh words. Then and only then will we perfectly love God and perfectly love one another. And we will be filled with inexpressible joy to live with God, no longer his enemies, but his children, bought by Jesus, welcomed into the family home, never to leave. Peace that lasts. What amazing grace, amazing love that we don't deserve, but God has delighted to pour out in Jesus. Well, if you're here this morning and you haven't yet accepted Jesus' offer of peace with God, then I'm going to finish now by praying a prayer that asks that might happen. So if you'd like to become a Christian this morning, then why not pray this prayer along with me? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry that I have rejected you, ignored you, and done what is evil in your sight. Thank you that Jesus died for me to bring peace with you. Please forgive me and make me your friend, and help me to love you and love those you have made. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you did pray that prayer and meant it, then the Bible says that all who say sorry to God and come to him for forgiveness will be forgiven. So you have become a Christian, and that is the best decision you could ever make. But one of the things we need is help as we go on as a Christian. So if you've decided to become a Christian, then do speak to me or a Christian that you know later so that we can encourage and help you in living for Jesus.